Greetings, everyone out there in Pacifica land. Today is Monday, August 23rd, and it is 8:56 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And my name is Lisa Davis. I'm the chair of the Committee to Investigate Allegations of Racism, Sexism, and Other Forms of Discrimination. And I'm going to ask the assistant to give a roll call. The secretary to give a roll call, to take a roll call so we can get an account of everybody who's on the call, and then we can move forward with an agenda that we have been trying to put forward for quite some time. Andrea, would you like to
person on the call, because I don't have a list right now in front of me, but could each person just give their name and here so that I could make a record of it? Thank you.
Okay. Well, this is Lisa Davis, the chair.
Alberto Luera, KPFT Houston.
And Mia Beriaco, WBAI.
Right.
And Andrea Turner, KPFA, Berkeley.
Right. And I'm also with the WBAI. And just to let our listeners know, we basically have primarily one thing on the agenda, or maybe two things. But one of the things that we have been talking about or trying to get a discussion on is to do a review of procedures that this committee should follow in terms of investigating any kind of complaints that should come before pertaining to allegations of racism, sexism, and other forms of discrimination. And a rough draft of procedures was submitted to this group that was based on Robert's Rules of Order. So the things that you will be hearing tonight primarily have come from Robert's Rules of Order, and that just will act as a guide for us to follow, because this is something that we cannot ignore should anybody bring a complaint about something. So it's good to know the guidelines, and as we go through these guidelines, we can comment or we can make suggestions, or we could think that maybe that aspect of it this committee should not handle, or it will just give us a guide in terms of how we think something should be and how we can proceed from there. And then I know that Alberto had brought forward a motion pertaining to Americans with Disabilities, correct? And so we will probably get to that motion tonight as well. But in the meantime, before going forward, because I happen to, you know, I'm in the WBAI area, and although this is something going on in the New York area, it is something that everybody in this country should be concerned about. It is certainly indicative of the virulent past upon which this country was founded. The issues of racism and intolerance that we are still grappling with, and it just breaks my heart to see that we are at this level of intolerance again. And many of you have probably been hearing about the Islamophobia and anti-Arab sentiment that has arisen pertaining to wanting to build a mosque, not on Ground Zero, as they say, but in the area where the World Trade Center is. So that's the downtown area. And I just want to say that on behalf of my comrades, this is not something officially coming from the committee, but on behalf of my comrades on this call tonight who have given me their permission to say this, that we stand with the people in the Islamic community. We are against all forms of oppression. We believe that everybody has the right to exercise their freedom of speech, their freedom of religion. Nobody should be prosecuted because of who they are, what they look like, and this is just a bad road. And we are certainly against anti-Arab sentiment and Islamophobia and all other forms of racism, discrimination. And that having been said, right now we have four people in attendance on this call. In order to have a quorum, we need five people. But what we decided that we would do is going to a committee of the whole so we can at least begin to discuss this document that we know we need to discuss. But we know we cannot pass any motions or anything like that, but we can bring things up for consideration. So, Alberto, and in that sense, you can also put forward your motion that you brought forward pertaining to, the issues with people who have disabilities. And
sure.
But with that having been said, I guess, Alberto, would you at least like to start with maybe reading your motion, and then we can get into the document, because you can at least bring your motion forward. People might have some suggestions about it. It can at least be read. We all have to vote on it, you know, at the next committee when we have quorum.
I have to read it for him, Lisa.
Sure.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I have to read it for Alberto.
Okay, sure. No problem.
Okay. And this is from Alberto Luera, who is blind. He's a committee member. In order for disabled LSB members to participate fully in board-related activities, resources shall be made available to cover expenses necessary to support their participation as requested. Such expenses may include, but are not limited to, gas reimbursement or other transportation costs, listening devices, portable ramp, or other specialized supplies. These expenses shall be covered by the board expense line item. And then you can do the background, Alberto.
Sure, sure. Given that, as you're all well aware, I'm very visually impaired, literally blind, I became aware, kind of, because I couldn't figure it out, whether the Pacifica Foundation had a policy on assisting challenged persons for them to participate within the process of the Pacifica Foundation as an LSB member or as a committee member or as a national board member. When we started this current year, in January, in February, one of our local station board members here in Houston came down with a horrible infection in his vertebrae and was not able to walk and now is in a wheelchair. He couldn't drive himself to the LSB meetings and had to be rely on Goodwill members to bring him. He was not present as often as he would have wanted to because there were not enough people willing to offer rides that were coming to the LSB meeting. Or he was having problems coming. And we felt that there was no policy that would assist a person with at least, if nothing else, calling a taxi cab and catching a ride to the meeting, but having the expense of the taxi cab or the gas expense for whoever gave him a ride to be reimbursed. As far as the other items, the items about the ramps and things like that, it's basically from my perspective that if we're going to, KPFT itself is in an old 90-some-odd-year-old house. It doesn't have space for meetings, although we did build a ramp and the first floor is accessible to people on wheelchairs. So we have to go out and select different places out there in the community to hold our meetings. So that part of the motion was to kind of make sure that the committee that finds the meeting halls for us every month, should make sure that they are accessible, that a person in a wheelchair can get to the meeting. Houston's an old town and there's many venues that do not have ramps and, that kind of stuff. So that was part of the suggestion here that the policy start happening at the local station and maybe it could go up to the national board. Because I don't know if the national board has any policies regarding assisting persons with disabilities in making, especially if they sit on the board, making it to the national meetings and things like that. So that is the whole concept. Of course, the motion is still pending. and hopefully we'll arrive at some conclusion. And there's a good possibility that it might not pass, but that's part of the struggle, and that's basically my motivation on this particular little motion that I brought forth for you to look at and to discuss, because I don't know if the other signal areas have a similar motion dealing or a similar policy dealing with people with disabilities. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Is that you? Anybody have any questions or comments or anything?
I do have a question to all of you. Do you guys have a policy? I mean, does the local station board? First of all, do you have people with disabilities either in the Berkeley radio station or in the BAI station, Mia?
Yes,
Andrea?
We do. Yes. And it's our policy basically to make sure that everything's accessible. And if someone needs special assistance, I think it will be brought to the local station board for review. But let me just say, it's not a policy as much as it is a vote by the, LSB to make sure that at least a local facility is accessible.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, again, that was our feeling that KPFT, there's really no policy, and it becomes political very quickly. As you can imagine, what this little resolution that we brought forth became political very, very quickly. Again, what about you in New York, Mia?
Yeah, our station is all wheelchair accessible. The bathrooms, we have a designated bathroom that's wheelchair accessible, and the building is wheelchair accessible. The only inconvenience in terms of the lobby is that there is a staff member who's in a wheelchair, and he can't go through the front on 120 Wall Street. He actually has to go around the loading dock. I mean, he's always accommodated very expeditiously, but, you know, he has to go through the back by the loading dock, and it is my opinion that there should be a ramp out front at 120 Wall Street. But Mr. Silverstein is the one, he's the one who owned the World Trade Center and owns our building. I'm sure he has plenty of money that he could build a ramp out front. Don't you think, Lisa? So that's the only thing, that's my only criticism of the actual physical location. In terms of where the board meetings are held.
Alonzo.
Hey, Alonzo.
Okay, sorry, Lily.
Hi, Alonzo.
Hi.
In terms of where our board meetings are held, a lot of the board meetings, I would say we try to be pretty good about that. I think that we have maybe once in a while, but I really can't think. Maybe Lisa could help me out here. I think when it comes to the board meetings, we're pretty good on that. There was a town hall meeting that was held back in April of 2008, and that place was not wheelchair accessible at all. So other than that, whenever we have events, we always make sure, and our public service announcements for the local station board that meeting, well, it used to say, as far as when, I don't know what it's been saying recently, within the past 2 years, because actually I used to make the public service announcements, for the board meetings, and we always say it's wheelchair accessible. So I think
sure.
We do pretty well at BAI on that. Lisa,
I know that. I know that we really do try, and every now and then I think there may have been a time when there was something that was held or whatever, and it got by whomever was getting the space, that it was not wheelchair accessible or that there was a problem with it. But I can say for the most part, I think that's one of the things that we have unity around in trying to get the place is wheelchair accessible. And if ever there has been a time when we're in a place that is not, it is usually duly noted. And we don't usually do a repeat performance and get in that place again. But I really do think that's the one thing we haven't had a lot of issues with, at least from my perspective.
Madam Chair, I believe we have met quorum with four.
Oh, okay, we have five. Okay, so we do have quorum. Okay, great. So that means this can be an official meeting then.
Yes.
Can I brief Alonso on our little discussion right here very quickly, Madam Chair?
Sure. Go ahead.
And yes.
I'm sorry. I didn't know if you wanted, because we're kind of doing this a little informally tonight, but it's 9:12. I didn't know how much longer we wanted to discuss this particular motion, and then I guess we can vote on whether, you know, this will be a motion that this committee supports. So it's 9:12 right now. So do we want to put any time in terms of how much longer we'll discuss this?
Just a few more minutes, I would think.
Okay, you want to say 5 1-minutes? Is that good?
Yeah, five would be more than enough.
Okay.
Let me just bring Alonso into the what we were discussing. Alonso, we were discussing a motion that Alberto, he who speaks, brought forth before the local station board here at KPFT that dealt with a policy of recognizing and making amenities available to people with disability, especially at board meetings and at functions like committee meetings that we have here at the radio station, with the hope that it eventually would go up to the national board. And I was hoping that not necessarily a resolution, but a statement, a statement to the effect that the Pacifica National Board is very aware of members that have special needs, and that they will make every effort to make it easy for these members to participate in all functions of the Pacific Foundation. And as you came on the call, I had been asking Andrea and Nia, and I'm asking you, do you have situations at WPFW where there's members that are either blind or in wheelchairs, that need special attention for them to fully participate within the process of your radio station, Alonso?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I can only think of two members who have been ill, and that's the only ones I can think of that have either health issues or any kind of physical issues. Just true, and they don't show up for meetings anymore either.
Well, Alonzo, I just have one question that I wanted to ask about, and maybe also an amendment to this motion, because we could also, I thought for some reason it was part of the bylaw that said places need to be wheelchair accessible, but maybe it's not. I just know that's been so ingrained in our collective consciousness at WBAI and even on the Pacifica National Board when I was a member. But perhaps you can also include in this that we encourage all meetings and anything that the Pacifica Foundation sponsors.
We want to maximize the effectiveness of all of our members.
Right. And we encourage all of the places to make sure that they are wheelchair accessible,
right,
wherever we have any kind of functions or meetings or anything like that. But please, we want to encourage all single areas to please make sure that's going on.
Right.
But I offered horrible wording. But anyway, I just wanted to just ask one thing about when you said such expenses, because this is something I can see that maybe needs a little bit more clarity, are included but are not limited to gas reimbursement. And the reason that I I'm asking about this is because I have known of people who, you know, might be in wheelchairs or who have various, you know, challenges, physical challenges, that have been able to get to meetings without any kind of problem. It's like it's a part of their natural, their daily being able to get around.
Exactly.
So when you,
yes.
Right. When you talk about the gas reimbursement, are you meaning it in a case whereas a person is being physically challenged in a way that is preventing them from their normal being able to get around? So in other words, like, you know, if somebody suddenly has something that happens, maybe they might break their leg or whatever, and they want to get to a meeting, and then another member has to maybe go out of their way to pick that person up, then that would be like a gas reimbursement kind of issue, right? But if somebody has been able to get around and this isn't part of their natural, you know, the natural ability to be able to move around, then would that be something different? Or
I guess the most important thing here is that as far as our intent was with the local station board and this particular policy is that finances should not be a reason for a disabled person member to not come to the meeting. There's sometimes, mira, for example, this particular board member who's currently in a wheelchair, there's board members that will go out and bring him in, and no problem.
Right.
However, there's no problem. They just go bring him. But if there was a situation in where this particular board member, for example, wanted to come to a meeting, it was an important meeting, nobody was able to pick him up, he could call a cab, have the
right.
cab drop him off at the meeting place, and have the radio station, have the local station board reimburse the person for the taxi cab ride. That's basically what we meant with it. Not that we're going to do it, but that it is available. More importantly, I think that we do not necessarily need to say gas reimbursement or cab rides, but that it should be, the concern of the group, the local station board or the national board, that if a member, needs assistance in transportation, that it be made available.
Right.
Assistance,
okay.
That if they need assistance in transportation, that it be made available to the member. Not
right.
that you're entitled to it, but that it is there in
right.
case, in those situations where getting around becomes too much of a hassle for one particular meeting, and they have to do the inevitable, call a cab or something to that effect. And that should not preclude them from not attending a board meeting or a committee meeting. That's what we meant by it. Of course, it has become a big discussion. Who's going to pay for the ramp? You know, type of discussion with some of my colleagues. What will be the limit on how much money they can get for the gas? With that little gas innuendo
right,
in it.
So, right, right.
So you know, we're still there. So that's, and we do not have to act on it right now. I just wanted to bring it forth because I do believe that the organization has to have a policy directed at people with disabilities internally so that everybody gets reminded that amenities have to be made available to people that cannot walk upstairs or that need some kind of special assistance. It's up to you guys. I just brought it forth as an example of something that we could talk about as part of the discussion of this committee. Thank you.
Right. Definitely. Hold on one second, a moment. I'm just
okay.
reading this. Alberta, I like the part when you were talking something about I'm badly paraphrasing because I do support this motion. I don't want it to sound like I don't support this motion. But I like the part when you added something about where their ability to get around is being impeded, or something like that you were saying.
Sure, that the ability to get around, as we know, people with disabilities, people with impairments, get by. But there's certain times, there's certain instances when it just becomes so difficult, for whatever reason, that a little push, a little support is needed for the person to get to where they want to go, especially if it's an LSB meeting or a committee meeting of the radio station, and that they should feel free to say, well, I can't get around, I can't get a ride, I can't, you know, my car broke down, or you know, at least, you know what, I'll call a cab, and I know that the local station board will reimburse me for the $15, $20 taxi cab ride that is going to, you know, cost. Again, at JPFD, the local station board has a line item in the radio station budget of $2,400 a year for them to use for meeting expenses. So that's why the motion reads, you know, like it read, because it was a motion that was submitted by us to the local station board for consideration.
Okay. Right. Okay, so hold on a second. May I make this suggestion? Because it's not coming to my head right now. I've been up since 5 o'clock in the morning. Because like I said, I don't hear objections from anyone anyone about this motion. But I think maybe just a little bit more wording in there about when, you know, they're met with things out of the norm that would impede their ability to participate the way that they would normally participate.
You know, send me a blank email. This is Lisa. Send me a blank email to me, to alberto.luera@yahoo.com, and I will craft it. You know, I'll add some of that stuff that you needed, you know, you were talking about, and then I'll send it back to you, and then you can fine-tune it and move it forward.
Right. Okay, so you'll draft one. Okay, great.
I'll craft it. I'll put it together. I mean, I know what Lisa's asking. I'll put, you know, it should be 2-3 it should be not even longer than a paragraph, and it's more a policy statement rather than a funding situation. And I'll craft it, and I'll send it back to you, and you can fine-tune it and move it on forward.
But you need to send me
an email, so that I can respond to you, and you can get it.
Right, and maybe we can also include something in the thing to the effect that we encourage all signal areas in Pacifica to always look for locations that are, you know, meet the ADA requirements and that are accessible to people with various challenges, and in areas where some of the stations might be having difficulty complying with the ADA. We encourage them to work with their local, ADA office, because issues pertaining to how much a ramp would cost or whatever. First of all, if you have a meeting and you make sure that you have a meeting in a place that's wheelchair accessible, then that's not going to become an issue. And if it's an issue of something at the station or a facility that the Pacifica owned, then they need to be looking into that anyway. And the ADA, I would assume, is one of the places that could help them with that. It can help them become compliant. So maybe we can just add some kind of language like that we encourage everyone
across
different areas to work with the local ADA and to look at places that are, you know, wheelchair accessible. And then where people are met with challenges that, you know, are preventing them from being able to participate, physical challenges maybe board members, and then that would be a consideration for committee members. Well, yeah, maybe board members and committees of the board, because we want to encourage, we can't say we want to encourage participation from all groups and then be insensitive to some of the things that might prevent them from being able to participate fully. So maybe we should say to board members and members of the committees on the board that, you know, just
sure
that we encourage that. Okay, does anybody object to any of that?
That sounds good.
Okay. So with that, thank you, Alberto, for bringing that.
Right.
Right. Okay, now the next issue is the wonderful draft document. Has everybody received that? The draft document for complaints?
Yes.
Okay. The fun one. Okay, I guess we can just begin to open it and start reading it. And, okay, I have a little color coding policy that I sort of started. Has everybody opened up the document yet?
Yes.
Okay.
There you go.
Right. You'll notice that, I have blue, because after I was looking at some of the wording myself, I said, well, maybe this should be included. So I would like to propose that where people are suggesting language, that we could add the suggestions in blue so that way we know that that's something that was suggested with this. And then you'll notice in red, when questions came into my mind about certain points about this, that's when I put them in red. And I just left it in the document because I said, well, these are things we can discuss. So maybe that can be a guide that we follow. And, of course, if we find that it's not working, we can always change it. But that's what I began with this. So that's why you'll see things in red, because I had questions about some things myself as I was pulling this forward. And, again, the bulk of this came from Robert's Rules of Order. So I think we should start at least. It's 9:30 right now. We should at least start with a reading of it.
Go.
Right, and then maybe we... I'm sorry, Andrea, you were saying something?
Okay, because it is 9:30, so... Do you want us to... Because some of us just got it. Could we centralize comments to you or send them or what?
Well, actually, this was something that had been sent out before, and everybody was supposed to give their comments, and it just has not happened.
Right.
I think the way to get it started, we can even just start with the first couple of paragraphs and then maybe go with comments, but we have to start it.
Well, let me ask you a question. Maybe we can jump around a little. What are the sanctions in that proposal? I'm sorry, as you're well aware, I don't read. What are the sanctions? If you go out of your way to show that you are a person of peculiar attitudes towards other human beings, and you do something, what are the sanctions?
Well, you know something? I think if we begin to start reading,
I think that
would be a better way to approach it because, you know, somebody, we have to think like this. If somebody has come to us and said, I have a complaint against so-and-so, we need to understand and have procedures to help us start exactly from that point. Somebody said, I'm bringing a complaint against so-and-so and what we need to do. And Robert Stuhl has suggested very specific things, and we can also look at that. So I'm just going to propose that we begin reading it, and then we
perfect.
When we get to where we get, we go forward. So would anybody like to start reading it?
¿Qué pasó?
Andre, did I hear you say yes? All right, Mia, you'll start. Okay, and you can just take it from the very beginning, even in the line that says extremely rough draft. Okay.
Okay, I'll just, I won't do too much, okay, because my eyes are perfect here today.
Okay.
You're not perfect any day, actually.
So can I say the first three paragraphs, because they're short, is that good?
Yes.
You want me to read? I'll go ahead.
Well, Mia said she was starting, then maybe Andrea, you could finish. So, Mia, if you'll take the first three, they're very short paragraphs, I think.
Okay. And this document is coming from the Committee to Investigate Allegations of Racism and Sexism, and I think and all forms of discrimination.
Yes.
And this is an extremely rough draft of recommended procedures for handling complaints, and this document was first drafted by our chair, Lisa Davis, April 16, 2010. Please note, and in parentheses, these guidelines do not contain recommendations for how to investigate a complaint of racism or discrimination. This is a separate issue to be discussed at a subsequent date. Okay.
All
right. I have to go back and forth here now. And it says there shall be ad hoc committees established throughout the five station areas, comprised of 7 members, 4 whom should be elected by the. Four people who should be elected by the committees of inclusion, and 3 of whom who are already serving on the committee to investigate allegations of racism, sexism, and other forms of discrimination. 1 director from the committee to investigate allegations of racism and sexism, and 1 person from the local station board. The subcommittee shall be established for the purpose of investigating allegations of sexism and racism and other forms of discrimination alleged to be committed by local station board members and Pacifica National Board directors. Elected members should sign confidentiality agreements. And here in blue, we have when investigating complaints, and all complaints and/or investigations should be confidential. That's number 2, I guess, right? And the third one, in the case that a person alleges that he or she has been subjected to discrimination by a board member, a complaint should be made in writing and brought before the subcommittee for its review. Anyone being accused of improper actions in a complaint shall be notified by the committee that a complaint has been brought against him or her. And our chair, Lisa Davis, you want me to read the question, Madam Chair?
Sure, you can read the question, right?
Okay. And her question was, does the accused have to be notified at this point, or should the accused only be notified if it is decided that further action needs to happen? See below. And below... Should I go below?
I would just because as we talk more about it, I think that it will hopefully become a little bit more clear.
Okay.
Right. And just briefly, just to bring you up to speed, especially about the establishment of subcommittees. One of the major questions that we discussed you know, previous members of this committee was, okay, if a complaint is brought to this committee, how should it be dealt with? I mean, let's say somebody from KPFA says, you know, I'm going to bring a complaint, I don't like what so-and-so did, and I'm registering it with this committee. Then how could this committee logistically investigate the complaint or handle the complaint, I should say? So it was talked about at one time that there should be an ad hoc committee established, and that this is where we came up with the idea, or we informally came up with the idea that there could be, committees comprised of about 7 members, 4 of whom should be elected by the committees of inclusion, because we know we need to get the committees of inclusion. This group should be also working with, I think, the committees of inclusion, you know, if things are operating ideally within our signal areas. And so it was recommended that 3 of whom are already serving on the committee to investigate allegations of racism and sexism and other forms of discrimination. And, of course, there should be a director from the committee on the subcommittee. So that's just sort of how that came up. And we can discuss that further if people want to or if you want to continue to read. But at any point, if you have questions or if you're saying, wait a minute, I think maybe it should be a little different, please feel free to say that or to make notes to that effect.
I have a question, Madam Chair.
Sure. Yeah.
Here you said it's comprised of 7 members, right?
Right.
4 of whom are elected by the Committee of Inclusion and 3 of whom are already serving on the committee. Now, on this committee, It says one director from the committee to investigate. Are these persons part of the seven? One from the committee and one from the local station board?
I think they should be, and I think that's why I had the question mark there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, I see it. Yeah, right.
Right.
That's something that we need to look at, yeah.
So then we need to change the total at the top.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
So then we need to change the total number of persons, how it's going to be populated. And so then that would be 7, 8, 9 people?
No, I think I'm saying 7, and I thought I was saying 7 total, and two would at least have to be, one would have to be a director, and one would have to be a local station board member from the committee. So I guess I'm recommending 2 from the committee, but I think it should be 7 total, and the language is probably confusing, but it's saying 4 should be from this area and 3 from that area.
Right, because if the... May I continue? Sorry.
Sure, please, go ahead.
If you have 5 signal areas, right, and
mm-hmm.
you have 5 directors, so right there, you've used up 5 of your 7 members. So you have 2 left, so you can't have 3 from the Committee of Inclusion.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry, I see what you're saying. I'm sorry, I meant... this is, language is probably not clear. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, so if they're, I think we need to maybe take them, if you need one director from each signal area, that's 5. And then one from the signal, from the Committee of Inclusion, and each station, Committee of Inclusion, that would make 10. So
I'm sorry. I think, and this is probably not clear, they meant these would be the committees at the local station board, so... there would be a committee that would be established on the local station board level that would be comprised with 3 people from the committees of inclusion. This is just a recommendation from the local station board area, and then one director from the local station board, and like that. So this would not be like we know the committee to investigate allegations of racism and sexism is a national board committee. But these would be committees that would be established on the local station board.
Okay, so I think maybe we need to say each station.
Right, maybe that's like, not clear.
Yeah, I know that.
Okay.
Right, and just again to explain the reasoning for that also is because it's something... If an incident were to happen, and this is just like for the investigating of the incident and the getting the facts and doing all this gathering and collecting. Because I think the recommendation later on is that any kind of thing has to be brought back to the national committee. But who could be better to investigate, but the people or to look into things, but the people in the local station areas. Okay, Alberto, you have something?
Yeah. I was just thinking as I was hearing your mix of people, and I said to myself, you know, one of the problems, at least here with us, is getting committees going,
mm-hmm.
or subcommittees, you know, getting them going. And I was thinking, maybe there's a possibility that the subcommittee to investigate at the local level could be the 3 members of the Racism, Sexism Committee, which is 1 national board member and 2 LSBs, and the members of the Committee of Inclusion. And I'm not sure if there are 3 or 4 members on the local Committee of Inclusion, and that if there's, and my thought was, if there's a consideration, is that if there's a complaint that we know, that all of us know, that if there's a complaint, 3 members from the national committee of racism and sexism, and the three or four members of the Committee of Inclusion who already have been selected at the January meeting when you start your new year, would come together as an ad hoc committee made up of either six or seven people, and that they automatically know. There's no empaneling. They automatically know that they need to come together and investigate if a complaint comes. And that would save a big step, because my experience has been that empaneling a group is almost so hard to do. And then you have to bring them up to speed, and that'll be a meeting, maybe two meetings before, and by then the thing is going to get cold and people are going to get disillusioned. I'm just throwing this concept into the ring. The ad hoc committee to investigate at the local signal area could be the already selected members of the COI and the Anti-Racism, Anti-Sexism Committee. Together, they become the ad hoc investigating committee, so that whatever results they get, they bring back to the national committee. That's my thought. I don't know if that's possible, but I thought I'd mention that.
Okay, let me just, because I just want to go back to Nia one moment, because I want to make sure that, you know, that I'm getting these thoughts. And Andre, are you taking notes as well?
Sure.
I'm trying, but, you know, if we could be succinct, if there's specifics that anybody wants, could they just email it to me, just to make sure that we're all clear? Okay?
Definitely.
Okay.
Let me just ask a question, because Nia, I thought I heard you recommending language for how that should be worded. In the paragraph about the ad hoc committees.
Yeah, well, part of it too was my, I have to apologize to you, Lisa, part of it was my reading comprehension, because you do have here, there shall be ad hoc committees established throughout the five stations. There is comprised of seven members. And I didn't see the comma or colon there. I can't see that. So,
okay.
This needs to be worded, and then maybe we need to have a caption like to be populated, and then you put, you know, whatever we said there, one director, one person from the local station board, you know what I mean? That's two, and then the other five people there, whatever, but, you know, put the colon and then just spell it out that way so it's easier to read.
Okay, I'm sorry, I don't have the best connection. And I want to, Alberto, because you were saying something too. So Alberto had said that it should include the three members from the, because there are three members from each signal area on on this committee. And Alberto was saying it was the three people, and I think now that my memory is being jogged, I think I probably meant it that way, but it didn't come out clearly. So we're talking about three people from this committee. And then, and just so you'll know, I don't know if the COIs are the same at all the other stations, but I know that there are more than like three or four people in the COIs. So I would propose three people from the from this committee, and then maybe three people from the COI, you know, to be elected, I guess, by the local station board. That's something we gotta hold on a second. I'm sorry. Anyway, three people from the COI, three people from this committee, and then maybe one other person elected from the local station board. So that would be seven people.
There's three from this committee, or just three from the COI.
Right. Within each signal area.
And three from the signal. Okay.
Right. So we're talking about ad hoc committees being established at each signal area. So this it would be right, an ad hoc committee of this committee at each signal area, and so three of them would come from three people would include the three members on this committee, and then three members from the COI, and then one member from the
you know, I guess one general member from the local station board.
And it could
sure.
be a listener,
sure.
and then it could be a listener or a staff member, right?
Right.
Okay.
So I should change that definitely not to four, but to three. I'll make that in blue.
Wait, maybe we just say committee composition. That might be the title.
Yes.
Committee composition.
So that should be the heading of this paragraph you're saying?
Yeah.
Right.
I'll put committee composition. Committee composition. I'll just put this all in.